What's up? Good morning.
The awkwardness of the first 5 seconds.
It's still, yeah, I still don't know if I should talk or...
Kate, can I tell you a funny Simpsons thing?
Yes, you can.
In New Zealand right now, they play 2 episodes of The Simpsons every day at like 6 o'clock.
So good.
And the monorail one was on the other day.
Now, I know that episode,
monorail,
but I can't remember
monorail. If anyone's got the, there's a soundtrack, Songs in the Key of Springfield, and it's got all those great, And the monorail is like a classic song. But there are those episodes of that era. I've got to figure out which season it is because they're just so gold.
Surely that's like season 3 to 5-ish or something.
That's what I think it is. But should I look it up?
Yeah, man. Do it right now.
Simpsons. So anyway, my friend Matthew Bateman, monorail, when we were in sixth form, I was 16, so 20 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. In that episode, Homer's like the train, the monorail conductor, and he's, you know, up the front. And there's this little, is it the engineer's room or something? And they open it, and there's a family of possums living in there.
Yeah.
And he goes, "I call the big one Bitey."
That's right.
So from that, my friend Matt Bateman got his nickname Bitey, which stuck. Like, he's Bitey. Like, that's his name.
Because he loved that episode? Or
no. It was something to do with his last name being Bateman. And
Bateman, Bitey.
I don't know. Like, in my phone, he is Bitey.
You know, the Simpsons really has been responsible for so many, like, cultural norms that we... Like, every conversation I have... with someone that goes into some deep topic, there's always a Simpsons reference.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, has to be.
My favorite episode is still the one where there's a bear loose in Springfield.
Oh, yeah.
And they make the bear patrol, you know, that goes around.
And there's they get that guy in. Isn't there the crazy bear hunter guy? Is it that one?
I don't think it's that one. They just make a bear patrol that has a helicopter going around the skies. And there's some awesome conversations between Lisa and Homer. Where, because Lisa's saying, you know, that,
don't hurt the bear.
No, she's basically saying like that I can't remember. It's like the bear patrol isn't necessarily keeping the bears away. And then she goes, "It'd be like me saying that this rock protected you from," I don't know what she says, bear attacks or something. And Homer's like, "Yes, yes." And he's like, "Lisa, I want to buy your rock."
Is that the one where at the end the bear has to make like a mad dash from wherever it is, like the open country, into the sanctuary, and they put the bear in like Homer's bear hunting suit, which is like trash cans.
I think this is a different one as well.
Maybe that's a different episode.
That bear features in a lot of episodes.
I love that one because the bear is like in, you know, open hunting area, and it's got to make a break for the sanctuary, and they put it in like a trash can and all this, and it runs through. And all the bullets, you know, are bouncing off. And it gets in there and everyone's like, "Yay, it's so cool." And then they take another look and an elephant has picked up the bear and is shaking it in its mouth in the sanctuary.
Well, my friend Adrian and a few of his friends, they went through all the best seasons of The Simpsons and they figured out what their top 10 episodes were.
Oh.
And then, yeah, he sent me the list. And at one point I was going through... and I was watching like each one of the top 10 episodes. I actually totally forgot about that list. I should get back onto it.
Yeah.
But you know, you think, you look at the titles and you're like, "Oh, I don't know if I've seen that one." And then you watch them and you realize, man, I've seen this episode like 40 times. You know, it's so good.
I love watching them and just seeing how long it takes me to like click to what the episode is.
Oh yeah.
Like yesterday's one was where Homer could have been class president, but something happened, and so they go to this Italian restaurant and they look into the spaghetti sauce and the guy stirs the sauce and they look at like the past that could have been. So cool.
That's so random.
So the monorail one is the fourth season, so you said like 3 to 5. You were exactly right.
In my opinion, those are like the best. So season 1 was like good, but still kind of, you know, they're a bit weird.
Yeah.
They were still finding their...
Exactly.
Their groove.
That first episode, it's strange.
Oh, it's super weird, eh? Yeah. The pilot?
Yeah.
Oh, it's really weird.
Quite funny.
Yeah, man. So how are you?
Oh, hello. Yeah, I'm good. I am shooting a proposal tonight.
Ooh, your first?
Second proposal. Second. Although, admittedly, the first one didn't go... Well, it was fine. Like,
Did she say no?
She said no. No, she said yes, but it was one of those things where he organized it. Okay, I'll tell you what happened.
Tell us.
He organized a nice romantic evening for him and his partner in like a glamping place, like a... You know what a yurt is?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, like a yurty.
It's like a permanent tent structure
thing. You've got it. Yeah. So they get out of the car and he and I had already like figured it all out. Now, I didn't like this plan, but he was adamant that I should be there when they arrive. It was in the bush and I'm literally hiding in the bushes. And he gets her out and makes her cover her eyes. So she walks up and she thinks it's like, oh, surprise, like it's a glamping yurt thing, like that's the surprise.
Yeah.
But he's like, open your eyes, and he's down on one knee and I'm there taking photos. And so she opens her eyes to like photographer, guy down on one knee, like proposing.
So it's a full on moment for her.
For me in that moment, actually, remember how you were talking about you had to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
And it was like, little bit out of your comfort
zone. So he wanted you really visible so she could see you.
Yeah. So I was like behind the camera, like waving at her going, hi, like this is as awkward for me as it is for you kind of thing. But she said yes. And like after that, I totally like, you know, went up and was like, hello, how are you? Like, what's up? Yeah. I'm Greg.
And you did like a little shoot after?
Yeah. Then they just wanted some shots of them just like mucking around, just whatever. So So it was a bit awkward, but also it was in the bush and it was like 6 o'clock or whatever. So it was dark. It was super dark. It
wasn't summer.
Tonight's one is up north in Russell, which is a nice place up north. And it's at this mansion, like this, when I say mansion, like I mean, million plus, like proper mansion. And it's at sunset and it's just going to be... If the clouds clear over, yeah, it'll be really super nice. And
it's funny that keep going.
Oh, this time around, how did it work? He has organized it so she thinks it's just them having a sweet photo shoot.
Okay.
And so I'm there. So there's no cover-up.
She knows you're there.
Yeah.
And then he's going to pop
the
down.
Question and boom.
Okay.
Which is good. I love it.
I think that's a better plan than the other one. It's funny you should mention this because I'm doing one of these... The one that you did that was a bit awkward. I'm doing a similar thing in 10 days time. I'm actually going to meet the guy this Saturday before my wedding. So this is a little different because I'm going to be there when they arrive, but I'm going to be hiding.
Oh man.
At least I don't have to be in plain sight. So she's like, what the, you know, the pressure to say yes is really high. So I'm going to be at the spot hiding in some bushes and then he's going to arrive with her and it's a very private spot.
This is sounding so similar.
And they're going to park and then walk to the spot.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm meeting him today is I have to tell him, he has to orient them properly.
Sure.
So like if his back's to me when he proposes, I'm not going to see it. So at least I don't have to be right there in her view. So when he actually proposes, she's not going to know that I'm there. And then I'm going to be like, come out of the bushes. Giant yeti. And she's like, scared.
That's super cool, man. The most exciting part of your day is going to be when you're hiding. You're going to feel, because I felt amazing. I was like,
I might wear some camo gear.
Yeah. I was like, I'm getting paid right now. And I am hiding in the bushes. And like,
it feels so stealthy.
When they turn up, you actually have to be like hiding. Like they can't see you. It's very exciting.
So good.
It takes you back to like when you're a kid.
you should post a photo from that proposal for tonight.
Yeah.
On the Facebook page.
Okay,
tomorrow.
I will.
Do it. I'll remind you.
Shall I do my most awkward photo and my most successful photo?
And your most bestest. Yeah. Do the two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah. Sweet. Okay, cool.
That's fine.
You got it. But remind me this time. if I forget.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll remind you. We're trying to get better at when we talk about posting a particular shot while we're recording. We often just forget.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, we'll post this in the group. Then we don't.
And then crickets. How have you been?
Pretty good. I had a massive weekend. I always seem to say that. Mm. But this weekend was proper. Friday I was in Barrel, sat shooting in Barrel. That was a big wedding. It was 12 hours. And for me, 12 hours is it's too big, man. It's too long.
Too much.
It was a long time to be shooting. Then Saturday I was doing 8 hours down near the south coast, which was great. And then Sunday I drove to Perisher. So,
oh, yeah, 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 right. Those photos. Right, so
those ones. Mm. Which ones?
Of the car?
Oh, yeah. I posted, yeah. I sent Greg a photo of my Subaru in its natural habitat. So that was it for the non-Aussie listeners. Perish is like Australia's version of the Snowy Mountains. It's like the closest you'll get to, I don't know, the Alps in Australia. And like the highest mountain's like, I don't know, 2,000 meters. It's pretty small. But I went up there for a wedding, which was on Monday. So that's probably 5 hours drive from my place. So it was wedding Friday, wedding Saturday, drive 5 hours Sunday, shoot Monday, drive 5 hours Tuesday. So yeah, I'm feeling a little like shell-shocked this week.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to forget how tiring that sort of weekend is. You're just taking photos and you're just sitting in the car, but actually it really, really tires you out. So I'm a bit jaded.
It's easy to undersell those weddings where you've got to do a bit of driving. And you think I'll chuck on $100 or something, but man, it's...
Because it sounds like, and it is, it's cool. You know, you're up in these awesome places and you have them to yourself and you've got this couple up there and it's beautiful. But then, yeah, when you're there, you're like, wow, this is a lot of driving.
Yeah. And when you're driving, you cannot do anything productive.
No.
You cannot work until these Teslas become the autopilot, until that becomes like legal. And then you could actually like sit the car and you could actually like do some editing while it's driving.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That'd be cool. It's not far away.
Oh wow. That would be so cool.
Good for you, man. Hey, why did they choose a Monday?
Because
it could have easily been the Sunday.
I don't recall. So they were originally going to get married in pretty sure it was Wanaka.
Oh.
And then for some reason or other, they moved the wedding earlier and to Oz. It may have been based on my availability.
Okay.
It's because I already would have had the weekend full. But it may have been some other reason. I don't know.
Well, that worked out well.
Yeah, it was good. Only one this weekend, which is so good.
Yeah, me too, man.
You good in general?
Good. Yeah, great. I have taken on some help with editing, which is making my life much better. Yeah, very good. You know, I've talked about the kids before, our video kids.
Yeah, so cute.
They've both kind of put their hands up and said they'd love some computer time, like they'd love to get on a bit of extra work. So it's really nice of me to be able to outsource that a little bit. So very good.
Because it's this time of the year is pretty out of control, yeah. I think, for us both. Do you find you have to do much quality control on their editing work, or are they pretty good?
No, and we're at the early stages at the moment. So Luke and I have set up a Dropbox thing where we can get it all going. And he edited his first one, and then it came back and I looked through and I just sent him some responses, some like critiques, I guess, just over like Messenger. Mm. And then he sent back a second one and it was 95% there. So he lives really close. So I was like, dude, come round. And we'll just quickly look at it and I'll show you like some things I do. And so that one's kind of done. Now he's ready for his next one. So yeah, we'll go from there. The first few, I'm just like, it's all good.
I think whenever you have someone else editing your work, even if it is like Michelle does a lot of my editing and she does a great job. But even in that situation, or if you're paying like an external company, or if you're having someone else do it, I think you always need to maybe throw your special sauce on like at the very end.
Yeah.
Like I think it's so good that someone else can do sort of the bulk of the edit because that's the thing that takes the longest. But then, excuse me, but then like I always go through and think to myself, well, in this image, in like a handful of images I would have, yeah, like put on my special sauce, like done an extra thing, or I don't know. You know, when you shoot a frame and, at the wedding and you see it a certain way, and and of course the person who's editing that has no way of knowing that was what your intention was. I think, yeah, there's always that go back and make sure it's all exactly what you want.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree. And even no matter how good any editor is, exactly, I'll still go through and go, "Ooh, I wouldn't have done that." But that's me. That's
yeah.
So yeah, I think if I have the expectation that he's going to do say 80% of the work for me, and I just go and do the last 20, or hopefully not 20, maybe still 10%,
saves you so much time.
Yeah. And it's nice for me to know that things are happening in the background, because it gets to the point where when you're taking a lot of bookings, and Kat and I are both shooting, like I hit my limit last season with edits. You know, I couldn't physically have edited more weddings last season.
Yeah. You were flat out.
I was just, no good. And with a little baby now, I need to be able to be more available. If it's going to cost me some money, that's fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's cool. Mm.
Cool, man.
Snappage.
Yeah. Have you?
Hey, so we haven't talked about your snap down soundbite.
So surprise.
How much of that is you?
Nothing.
But it says snap down in it, doesn't it?
Wait, I paid.
Oh!
I paid a guy from Trenchtown, Jamaica.
What?
I went on to Fiverr.
Oh.
You know what Fiverr is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I searched for Jamaican DJ voiceover, and I
hey, yo, make sure so you tune in and I guess what you got, I white name this snap though.
Okay. You have to just leave that there.
No, my selector.
Okay, so I paid a guy from Jamaica. He's a Jamaican. He's a DJ and like a producer in the studio, and I was like, look, I run a podcast called The Snappening, and we have a segment called The Snapdown, and I want an intro, and I don't care what you say, I just need you to say The Snapdown and surround it with a bunch of Jamaican patois stuff.
I'm so proud of you.
He sent back four sound bites, and a few of them were a bit basic, but then that one had a few patois words I didn't understand. I was like, that's the one. And then I just chopped in the air horn and the that little bit on the end there, the selector bit, yeah.
Man, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
$5. And he's an actual Jamaican dude.
See, having heard that without the backstory, I was like, this is what is going on here? Like, we need to have a team talk.
Well, you know, I recorded the one myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like my voice on it very much. So this one sounds way better.
Oh, this is, knowing that now, this is the best thing ever.
I probably should have told you before you heard it.
No. Like, this is good. This is it's a nice experience to now know. Good stuff, bro.
Oh, Fiverr's amazing, man. I could have got anything. Like, there were some female voice actors as well that sounded really cool. But then the classic Jamaican DJ is like a guy like the 70s. Yeah, so I don't know. I liked that.
We could I don't know, every like 6 months or something, we could get a new thing, like a new.
It was $5, man. Like, yeah, and he sent it back to me within probably 15 minutes.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Okay, cool.
Any voice. There's one that was like, I'll say anything you want with a Mexican accent. Welcome to the snap.
Do you remember that novella we did?
The what? Oh, yes. Remember
that? Shivers, that was interesting.
That was gold.
Okay. All right. Snappage. You go first. You want me to go?
You go first. Yeah.
Okay. This is like actually a useful thing. Godox have new firmware.
Okay.
You can go to the Godox website and, but here's the thing is you need a PC. Windows machine, so I can't do anything. So anyway, but there is new firmware for Godox and for all their flashes and the wireless trigger, the Pro, the X Pro. And I am told that the X Pro now, with the updated firmware, you can use the focus assist beam with the Sony A7 III.
It's good.
Really good for me because I set up like flash on the, like off-camera flash, and then you're on the dance floor and it's pitch black and you just want to smash them with a big predator target and piss off all the videographers.
So funny.
So that's me. So someone's got a PC, that's good. Otherwise, can you send you my flashes?
How do you update? How is the the X Pro would have a little like a micro USB.
All of it, and the flashes do too.
Oh, there you go,
dude. Godocs are amazing, Tom. Haven't you heard?
Yeah, they're right.
So much better than Sony.
Well, do you have the Lion? No, you have the AA versions, don't you?
I got both actually.
Yeah, everyone's frothing on
those. Yeah, the lithium iron are very, very good.
Yeah, I still haven't tried them.
The trigger is still AA, and that kind of annoys me. The
that doesn't require a heap of power,
no,
does it?
Not really.
This is like a signal.
And the one thing that I'm thinking is that the lithium ions come with these massive battery charging stations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you actually like slot in the battery.
Yeah, that's yeah.
It's cool. I like it, but
you do.
But you get one with every flash, and it's like, well, I only really need one of them, and now I've got two already, and I know if I buy more flashes, it's going to be like
another.
So I was thinking maybe you can just buy like, you know, when you go to Bunnings and you can buy a Makita drill, but it's just the drill, not with all the batteries and all the other stuff.
Oh yeah, the drill on its own.
You'd know all about that.
Maybe I should just order one and test it. I'm just, to be honest with you, really happy with those Sony flashes. You know, I just
Sony's are good.
I mean, I'm sure that the Godoxes are just amazing. But
if I could go back, I'd probably, I always forget the model number, but the smaller one, is it the 3 something? T3?
The Godox or the Sony?
Godox. T310 or something?
350, I think.
350? I would just get, I think I'd get 3 of those.
There's a Lion version of that as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I have it, Tom. Come on.
Oh, you do have it.
Keep up.
But you just said you'd go back. Oh, you'd get
I would go back,
the,
yeah,
the
and
bigger
get,
ones.
You've
yeah.
got it. Instead of getting the larger, the big ones are sweet, but I reckon I could just use those smaller ones. So anyway, and then you'd have all the same battery too, because those the little one takes a smaller battery.
Two charges, yeah, that would be useful.
Anyway, so that was mine. I've got a really good extra snap down, but you go.
Okay. So I acquired the Batis 40mm
S2. Oh, now I have been waiting for this, even though you've already sent me some little insights.
So I really need to keep testing it. I'll preface my review with that. I need to have another go at it. It's like any lens, you probably can't take your first impression unless it's a lens like a focal length you've never had before. Like unless you got like a 200mm f/1.1,
nice.
And you know you would use it and it would blow your mind. But yeah, to be honest, I was a little underwhelmed with the Batis 40mm f/2. I'm holding it right now. There you go. It just looks like a Batis. So it's very small. It's actually a little smaller than the Batis 85. So it's very small and very light. It weighs like, to give you an idea, the A7 III with the Batis 40 attached weighs less than the Sony 35 1.4, like on its own.
What?
Yeah, it's so light, man. It's like 300 grams. It's very, very, very light.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good thing. What I found weird about it is you can see the difference between 35 and 40 mil. So when you put it on, you're shooting with it, and you're like, this is only 5 mil difference. But there are times when I was like, wow, this is weird. Like, it's not different, but it is. Like, I felt that it was annoying that I had to go a little bit further back, even a few steps or one step. I'm just so used to the 35 millimeter range that it felt really odd to not be at 35 and to be at 40. There were also quite a few times during the day where I realized that I do rely on f/1.4 and that f/2 might not have been enough at the 35-40mm range. But other than that, the lens went fine. Like, the focus is really fast and it was really accurate and the images are fine. But I don't know, that at this stage, that's kind of my review. The images were fine. It was fine. I didn't come away from the wedding thinking, man, that made my job so much easier, or the lack of weight was amazing, or I'm ready to get rid of my Sony 35. So used to saying Canon
You're used to saying Canon after get rid of.
Yeah, pretty much. So I'm going to keep testing it. It was slightly underwhelming, but also I have to admit the wedding that I tested it at, it was a very hot day and the light was very harsh. Mm. So, you know, it's not the best environment to really test a bit of gear because you're frustrated at how strong the light is.
Yeah. Hey, Tom.
Tell me.
Did you miss the aperture ring from the 35?
No, I haven't really been using that very much. I went through a period where I used it a lot, but then I kind of stopped. So no, I didn't miss that at all.
Do you just use the thumb dial?
Yeah, I do. I found with the ring that I was bumping it a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was turning it inadvertently. So I just... and then if I... Because I'm shooting on manual all the time, if I did use the ring for the aperture, I'd still have to use a dial on the camera for the shutter to alter the shutter speed accordingly. So... Yeah, no, I'll probably go back and forth between those, but yeah.
Interesting review.
So I'm going to keep testing the Batis 40. It's fine, but it's at this stage, it's just fine.
Yeah. Do you think with image quality, we're at the point where everything's good? Like,
yeah, pretty much. Know. Especially on a camera like a Sony where you can really bank on everything. Like you said to me, Greg sent me a text the other day, and it was basically like, I'm really loving the fact that I can just bank on everything being in focus. Mm. So no, you're absolutely right. I think, that you don't have to be like, it's focuses so well or it's heaps sharp because all these lenses appear to focus really well and be really sharp. So, you know what it would be good for is travel, like an amazing street photography lens because it's so light.
You see, you say that Sony do that 40mm pancake. And I took that on holiday and it was great because it was so light. But for holiday snaps, I like to be able to go super wide and like get big landscapes. I ended up just taking a zoom. Well, I have that the G7, which is awesome. Okay, Tom.
So like don't use my single review as it's a review in progress. This is my first impression is that it's okay.
You're saying the lens is great, but for your purposes...
Compared to what I already have, which is the 35 1.4,
Are you finding the weight of the 35 1.4 on the Sony an issue?
Not really, man. To be honest with you,
me too. I used to get really sore shoulders when I had my two Canons on a double strap, you know, like a dual shoulder strap.
Me too. Yeah.
So I went to that holster. What's it called again? The Spider holster.
Spider, yeah. You're still using that?
No. I stopped using that as soon as I got the Sonys because the weight's not there. And I do, while the holster was cool and everything, and everyone like thought I was a cowboy and made comment at every wedding, which got a bit annoying. No, it is. I prefer the what have I got now? The Moneymaker.
Did you buy the sort of quality free one?
Swag.
The Swag, yeah.
Yeah.
They're awesome and so light.
It was cool because there have never been like black ones in stock for like the last 2 years or something, and they came into stock, and I bought two of them, and that was it. They're out of stock again.
So funny.
I think Ethan Lowry, if you're listening, I think he was like, "Damn it, Greg, they're not in stock anymore."
Stealing mine. They're really good because they're so much lighter than the leather version. They're like a quarter of the weight.
Are they?
Yeah, the leather ones are heaps heavier.
Cool, man.
Do you have another?
I got another small one. Okay, so you use Siri from time to time?
Yeah, when she works.
Yeah.
She's a what's the word I'm looking for? An inconsistent like temptress.
Fickle?
Yes, she's a fickle temptress.
Do you use it in the car? Do you use like CarPlay and
that's
the place, right? Me too.
Call Michelle or whatever. Yeah, get directions to somewhere.
What language what accent do you use?
Oh man, I suddenly feel like I should have looked at this earlier. I just use the Australian accent.
Well, I've had it on Australian because it's the most, similar to New Zealand. But the other day I was just going through my phone and looking for things and I noticed that there's Irish.
Oh.
So I've got the Irish female. Oh, and it is amazing.
Wow.
It's like this whole different person,
It's like she's stroking your ears as she talks to you.
She's so sweet and helpful.
You
whereas
just made the funniest noise though.
The Australian girl, I always felt like she was, like against me, She's like, Australian.
Whenever she talks, she's giving you directions to like the Cronulla riots or something. Yeah. Some just bogan.
Whereas, now I've got this like Irish belle. Oh,
that's lovely.
My new best friend.
I should,
It was quite good because I said it and then didn't listen. And then it was like 3 days later and I was in the car and I was like, directions to here or something. And it comes back at me and I'm like,
Tara.
It was so cool. So I would just say have a bit of a play with those accents. It's really fun.
Nice one.
That's it for me, buddy.
I got another quick one.
Okay.
I started to wear a hat to weddings.
Oh.
So did I tell you that I had a little, I went to get my skin checked and I had I had a, like a bit of a scare with my skin. We were there and the skin cancer guy was looking at my skin, got a few moles. He looked at them, they're fine. And then he goes, yeah, the things you have to be really careful of are the parts of your skin which sort of bleed and then scab and then heal and then bleed and then scab. Like they keep having the, it's like a, almost like a cut that never heals, basically.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. I do have something on my ear like that. And I showed him, I've got this weird thing in, like right on the edge of my ear, which does exactly that. It's like sometimes I'll go to sleep and then I'll wake up in the morning and they'll be like, it will have just like bled a bit. Okay. And then it will scab over. And anyway,
well, like you're thinking gross. It could be a pimple, like just a recurring pimple or something. Or?
I just thought it was, I thought my ear was deformed. Oh. Like I thought that fold of my ear had just, I don't know, come out a bit half baked and wasn't proper. Anyway, he looked at it. As soon as he looked at it, he's like, yep, I'm going to get a biopsy of that.
Wow.
So he took a biopsy, which is like, they take like a 2 mil chunk of flesh or whatever. That was fine. Although having a local anesthetic in the cartilage of my ear it was a bit painful. So I got really worried. And then during the period where the biopsy was off getting tested, he was like, look, you work outside a lot in the sun. And I was like, yeah. He goes, he looked at me and he's like, you have to wear a hat. Mm. He said it to me in very certain terms. So I was like, shit, okay, this guy's for real. So I always wore sunscreen, but I was a little kind of half-assed about putting it on. I'd put it on as much as I could and sometimes I'd forget. But now I've started to wear, like religiously wear sunscreen to weddings. And also I bought it's a bit hipster, but it's pretty cool. It's like a big, it's like a wide-brimmed felty type. I look a bit like an Amish person, but that's totally fine.
Cool.
It's pretty cool.
Have you got it there? Have you got it there?
You know what? It's in the car.
Ah, okay.
It's super cool though. It's a nice hat. But nice. I started to wear that. So when you think about how much time we do spend outside in our jobs in the sun, especially in New Zealand and Australia in the summer, it's a lot. So I think that if you're shooting weddings, you probably should really up your sunscreen game and your hat game. Now the biopsy came back and it was totally nothing. It was just it's sun damaged dry skin, but it's not anything bad. Wow. He just goes, put some like Vaseline on it. But it was a good scare to get me to really up my sun protection game.
Sure.
Well, you can't mess with the sun.
Very good advice. You've inspired me actually. I've got a little thing on the side of my head here that I should go and get checked out.
Oh man, you know, especially in New Zealand, I think it's worse in New Zealand than Australia, the sun. Yeah. So you really should get that checked out, man.
Okay. Yes, I will.
Okay.
I will. All right. Sweet. You had a thing you wanted to talk about?
Yep. Well, we're officially moving from snap damage into our bit of small main topics. Okay. Greg.
Yes.
Let me see. Oh, I actually have two questions for you. They're totally separate. They're going to make interesting main topics. And you have a main topic, I think. I'm going to throw this one at you. You didn't know I was going to ask you this. Can you tell me, do you think that back button focus is still necessary with the cameras and the focus points that we have available to us now?
I've just thrown that at Greg. I used to have my Canon set up so it could do back button as well as the half click shutter button focus, so I could do either. So if I had, I think it means if you do back button, that overrides the front one.
Oh, so if you're holding down back button,
if you do back button, it won't do anything on the front one.
Okay,
it'll just go click click click. So I had that set up for years and years, and then so on the Sonys, I was like, oh yeah, I'll set up. I got some advice from my brother-in-law Jasper. Mm-hmm. He said because you got two buttons on the back there of the Sony.
Yep.
I think. And the left one I set up as normal focus on whatever your focus point is.
Yep.
And the right one as eye focus.
That's exactly what I have too.
Right. So I started using that for a while. And then I realized that, you know what? I just really like to focus normally with the focus point with the front, the normal shutter click.
I knew you'd have something to say about this.
Yeah, so awesome. So currently I use I completely do not use the left button, which I set for normal focus. I only use my index finger and do the half click focus for normal, and then I can go to my thumb for eye focus. So I just toggle between index finger and thumb depending on, you know, what's going on.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So the reason, yeah, that's the reason that I'm asking this is I was at this wedding on the weekend and I was scrolling through all my focus points that I had available, and I was like, man, I have so many focus points, like right to the edge of
yeah,
the
it viewfinder. Is.
And then I was thinking about why I use back button focus, and the reason that I started using back button focus, and I think the reason that back button focus is useful for anyone, is to separate the shutter and the focus so that when you, like even on the 5D Mark, the 5D Mark III was okay. The 5D Mark II really had one usable focus point,
yeah,
and that was in the very center. The rest were
yeah,
just
and
absolutely
the
6D useless.
Is a lot like that.
Same. So you'd have to do a lot of focus recompose. So
yes,
because you use the center focus point, focus in the middle, and then move the camera a little and then shoot. So you obviously want to have the focus not linked to the shutter.
Yeah.
Right? But then 5D Mark III was pretty good. Mark IV was really good. And now with the Sonys, I was like, you know what? Is there really a reason to have them separated? Like if I want to shoot something on the very far edge of the viewfinder, just move the focus point there and then use the shutter naturally linked with the autofocus. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm about to change because I'm so set in my ways, but I just was like wondering about whether it's still kind of necessary.
Mm.
I mean, so you don't even use back button focus never, anymore apart from
just
the
eye one. And it works super well that way because you've kind of got, you know, you're at the ready with your index finger on regular focus, and then if you're thinking, oh, there's a good face like right there, boom, you can go on the eye focus. But the opposite as well, where you really want to get that someone's eye, but you know, sometimes it just doesn't get the eye.
Yeah.
So you just go boom and just get them on your index finger.
Normal.
And boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
If I'd love to know what everyone thinks. If you're listening, and I'm pretty sure most wedding photographers would be using back button focus up until now or up until recently. If you've swapped to not using that because you have so many focus points at your disposal, I'd love to know how that's going, or if you're still on back button, love you to comment and let us know. But yeah, that was just a thought I had.
I challenge you, Tom. This is serious now.
All right.
Shoot one wedding or even just one prep or something using aperture priority instead of manual. So yeah, just click to aperture priority and and then use the plus and minus
the exposure
compensation. And that's it, man. Just give it a go. Just try. Cause
all right.
Dude, it's incredible. Like
hey,
you
man.
Just do nothing all day. You just
remember I spent a period there about 3 months ago shooting on auto ISO?
Yeah.
So I guess it would be similar.
You just you've
just
got to go. You have to go auto ISO, and you've got to go AV.
Yep, and then you just do nothing. Dude, plus and minus.
Dude, it's amazing. Like walking backwards out of a church, you just
yeah.
it's just like
that's amazing.
Perfect. Man, I was just going to say something else.
What it does is, while you're thinking, what it does is it frees up your mind to really focus on your subject and the moments that are unfolding in front of you. Because you know, if you see something on the right, you know your camera is going to expose properly or more or less properly because, you know, those settings are going to be chosen for you.
And in editing, okay, sure, it might be 10% out here or there, but will I have to, you know, every image I drag the exposure bar pretty much on anyway, like just a little test. So it hasn't slowed me down at all. But at a wedding, that's what I was going to say. Okay, have you ever, you probably already know this, probably everyone knows this. I just found it out because I'm a dummy. Have you ever been at a wedding with the Sony and you're shooting? Okay, supplementary question.
Wow.
What percentage of shots do you use where you're looking at the back screen rather than looking through the viewfinder?
Less than one.
Really?
Less than 1%.
I'm at like 50%.
So you're often looking at the rear LCD?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay, so this won't really apply to you, but for people out there, what can sometimes happen is like, I'll often be looking at the back screen, taking a shot, but the camera will be so close to my body, or maybe my thumb is slightly, because I'm holding it in portrait mode, my thumb goes over the little sensor and it thinks my eye is
up. So it defaults to the
yep.
the electronic viewfinder.
If you flip out the screen, even just a mil, the screen will not go to the viewfinder. It'll stay on the screen. That was a little thing I learned, which helped.
No, that's a good tip. Good tip. So you,
I don't think you're using these Sonys to their best potential, Tom.
I disagree with you. No, I don't know. I need to look inside. Yeah, that's just... Also, man, you know that rear LCD on the A7 III is so bad.
Oh yeah, it's horrible. Oh, it's
terrible. Like,
noticeably worse than
it's
the.
It's got sky. It's got like a white sky, and you like look at the screen. You're like, yeah. How have I ruined this photo so badly?
Sometimes I'm like, I'm sure the photos look better than this on the computer. Like, what is going on here?
Then you download them, and you're like, I didn't ruin it.
Yeah, but the viewfinder EVF seems to be much better.
It's great. Yeah, it's really good.
Okay, did we just go on a big tangent?
Yeah, we did. I said one of my little topic things. Do you want to hit me with yours?
No. Or
do you want me to go on?
You can keep going.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, wait, what was my one? I've forgotten now.
You said that you had a question that I was going to basically answer yes or no for. I just heard a child crying.
Oh, that's little Dallas. She's having a little, she's talking. And by talking, I mean screaming. Okay, bro, I got a question for you. It's quite unrelated to all of that, so is that all right?
Yeah, man.
Listen, what do you do? And man, this happens not all the time, but once a month or something. Mm-hmm. You've shot a wedding, you've edited it, you've sent it to the clients, you've done a great job, you've included 20% black and whites, 10%, I don't know, whatever you do.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe this is so funny you're about to ask me this. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Okay, so I really hope we're on the same page. And then you get the dreaded email, which is like, oh, love this photo, so good, like everything's great. Hey, we really love this shot, and they send you like a stupid compressed version. Can we please have it in color?
It's three pixels.
Yeah, we'd love to see it in color. Oh my God.
I can't believe you're asking me this right now, because I've just had to deal with an issue with this, like this week.
Man. And I don't know, like for me, I'm the nice guy. I'm like, yeah, like I'll just do it. Get you out of my hair. But I'm like, what's the point in me doing these nice black and whites? And you do a black and white for a reason. I do anyway.
Yep.
Should I even do any black and whites? What do you think?
There's so much to talk about here. Greg,
I thought this was going to be you saying, nah, like one syllable answer. All right.
Okay.
Let's hammer out.
do you want to tell me what you think, or should I just launch into what I think?
I honestly, I don't know what I think.
Okay.
You tell me.
Let me start by saying that some of our colleagues deliver every single photo in color and black and white. And I know. So some people are probably going to comment and say, you can get around this by delivering every photo in color and black and white.
Sure.
Sorry, but I don't want to do that.
Yeah, we're silencing those people.
Yes, go to that silent corner for the rest of this discussion. So I do the same thing as you. Get to a photo, think to myself, this is going to look way better in black and white. So I convert it and deliver it. So this week I had an email. Hey, we love the photos. Thank you so much. They're so beautiful. Just wondering if we can have all the black and white photos in color.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and this is only the first time. There's a cat outside your window.
Hey, Cisco. Shelly Lemon. Keep talking.
Yeah, whatever. I just want to keep. Okay, so can we have all the black and white photos in color? So I'm the same as you. If a request comes for like one or two photos, I'm like, yeah, man, no worries. Just give me the image numbers.
And just email it to them and say like, look, yeah, just drop it straight in the folder. It's, you know, I make it so that it's... the file name's like whatever with an A on the end or something, so it just sits next to the other image.
Easy. No, we do the same. Like, you know, the value of, even though maybe you don't have any sort of real responsibility to do that technically, like, do you have anything in your contract about this?
I say that something like 10% of images will be made black and white.
Yep.
And that is for I think I mentioned something about how it's something to do with... Well, no, maybe I don't. I don't think I say anything. I just say the expectation is that about 1 in 10 will be black and white.
Okay. So I say color to black and white ratio about 2 to 3.
Oh,
so
wow.
One third. Yeah, I do a lot of black and white.
Do you really?
Yeah, a lot. I really like them. And then I say, if you see a few photos you want me to convert into a, say, color from black and white, no worries, let me know. If you want any more than a handful, it's quite a lot of work, and so there would be a fee.
Yeah.
There'd be a fee of $200 per hour. Plus GST. Okay. I've never had to actually rest on that. I was like,
well, you put it, you make the price really high so that people are like, nah, I can't be bothered doing that.
Well, this week, I thought about it because this girl emailed and I was like, well, all right, fair enough. She wants them in color. I get that. Should I do it for nothing? This is going to take, I calculated, it's probably about 250 photos.
Yeah.
So it's going to take, by the time go through,
a couple of hours.
Well, I'd say two, because you have to go through, you have to cull only the black and white images. Then you have to re-edit them in color and also make sure that the edit is in line with the other color photos in that sequence.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Make sure the color is whatever. So then I talked to Michelle and I was like, what should I do? Should I just do it for nothing? It's 2 hours of my time. It's in my contract, says if you want this, I'm going to charge you. But also, I don't want to be an ogre about it. Like, is it unreasonable? Maybe I should just do that extra above and beyond service and do it for nothing. Anyway, we decided, no, we're going to charge them. Like, it's in the contract and I don't want these photos in color. I put them in black and white because I think they look better. So I explained the reason and I sent them a message and I was like, look, if you want a few, I'll do it for nothing. But if you want all of them, as per the contract, I am going to charge you this fee. And they were like, yeah, sweet. And they paid it.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
Just like that. So, yeah. But it's weird that you raise this. This is the first time I've ever had this request.
I like the idea of charging. That's cool. Okay. So can we just talk about the pros and cons of doing a full album in black and white? Like doing two albums, color and black and white.
Okay. Let's talk about it. What do you think?
Well, for me, it's twice as much work.
But right, me too.
Because, yeah, I would have to there's no shortcut. I'd have to do a full color edit. Hey, and maybe like people that do this, tell me what you do. Because to me, I'd have to do a full color edit and then export or whatever and then duplicate that catalog or something and do a black and white catalog. But if I just applied my black and white preset, I'd still have to go through every single image and adjust everything. Like if it was as easy as just putting a filter on and walking away, that'd be cool. But I couldn't do that. I'd have to go through and check them all. So it would be another 5 hours or 6 hours of editing.
I just think it would be a massive drain on time and therefore time being money. You know,
if you're listening and you do it, I'd love to hear how you do it. And do you just put on your filter that you know is pretty bankable and just walk away, or?
Or maybe they adjust exposure first so that they know each shot is perfectly exposed and then, you know, like batch apply.
Yeah.
Maybe that would work.
Batch apply?
Like what I mean
in different scenes.
Yeah, I guess. But if it's a black and white filter, you don't have to adjust color. You know, like if the exposure is bang on.
Well, that's true. But I find I still tend to do shadows and highlights. And
yeah, they look different. I think that's over-delivering. Like, you know, lots of respect if that's your way of doing things, but I don't know. I don't think it's necessary.
Could we say it's like a product we offer? We could say, hey, have your photos in black and white for $1,000 or $500 or whatever.
You know what we should do, Greg, is we should create a poll.
I've been waiting for an excuse. Okay,
should we do it now or should we do it like the day after, so that people have a chance to listen to this episode first?
Yeah, that's
probably
a good
after,
idea.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll do it.
All right.
As soon as.
But it's a really good question though.
Okay, we'll do a poll.
Okay.
Nice. Okay, cool. Do you wanna? What was your thing?
My thing was, what's the time? Okay, I'm gonna have to leave a little earlier than normal this week because I have to go to the dentist.
Oh, we're doing great. And that's, you hate the dentist.
Oh man, I hate the dentist. You don't mind it, do you?
Yeah.
I have a real fear of the dentist. Do you want to go into more topics, or should we just be like, we've done enough today?
I think we're pretty good. Do you want to save yours for next week?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, yeah, why not? Our last few episodes have been massively long.
Okay. No, that's cool, man. We've done well. You go to the dentist.
Oh, damn it.
Get ready for that.
Actually, my dentist, I'm trying a new one today because we moved and I didn't want to drive so far. And I specifically picked... Okay, tell me if I'm sexist.
Oh!
Which gender dentist did I pick?
I'm going to go female.
You're right. I picked a female dentist because in my experience... female dentists are a bit more open to me being like freaking out a little in the dentist chair. So like when I tell them, look, I'm not a great patient. I don't really like this. I'm feeling pretty anxious. They're a little bit more kind of receptive to that, and they talk me through things a bit more. Whereas the guys, no pain, but I just find the guys are a bit more like brisk about it. I don't know. I don't know if it's a,
well,
I have no idea.
I've got some feedback on that. There's an author out there called Jordan Peterson. And he's had some press lately because he talks about gender neutrality a lot. And I've got his audiobook, and he summed up men and women by saying men are interested in things and women are interested in people.
Interesting.
So to compare a male, this I'm being so general and just, sure. If I'm being an idiot, please.
Oh, you're quoting a guy, you know, it's not you being an
idiot. I hope
it's
correctly quoting him. So I would say if it was me, like I'm thinking a guy dentist, I'd be thinking about how the drill's working, how the tap's working, how this is working, how this is working. And when Tom says to me, I'm a bit scared, I'm like, look, listen, whatever. Mate, the equipment's working perfectly.
You know I'll be fine, but you, as maybe you don't convey that to me because,
Whereas a female, according to this theory, a female dentist would still, of course, be aware of all of the utensils and things and technology, but she would be more empathetic and listen to you and think of your feelings, which is a nice thing to have happen when you're at the dentist.
Sure. Well, and not only is she a female, she's Irish.
Oh, get out.
So when she talks to me, so when you said that thing about Siri, I was like, you're going to appreciate my new Irish dentist. And she's quite young too, I think. So
so she's pretty much a young, hot European dentist. And Tom's like, she'll do.
So I'll report back on that next week. I mean, I'm just getting a checkup, so whatever. I'm probably not going to die today.
Oh, now you're going to love the dentist. You'll be like, oh, I've got this little... You sure this one back here doesn't need like extra filling right here?
I go like, I've got this weird thing on my forehead. She's like, I'm a dentist. What are you here for? Okay, cool. Do you have something to make snapper?
Oh, I sure do, Tom. Sure do. What was I talking about earlier about stuff that people need to like do or something?
You know, you could tell people to wear a hat, Siri, because that's a really
good one. Okay, that's a good one. Everybody, should we? Okay, how about this, Tom? How about this? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
We should make snappin' that we do a selfie of us in our hats at our next weddings.
That's so good.
And everyone do a selfie of you in your hat at your next wedding and put it on the snappin' page.
I want to see all of you doing that, especially if you are in Australia and New Zealand, because the sun is not to be messed with in these countries. It is brutal. You don't want to have to go get stuff cut out of your forehead.
Do you find that the corks get in the way of the camera?
The corks. I just hang beer bottles. They get rid of the flies easier.
I thought that'd attract flies, didn't they?
You wash them out.
Wash them out. Not so bad. That was solid.
That was good. Okay. Sorry to cut us a bit short today.
No, it's good.
Have a good week, snappers.
See you, bud. Bye-bye.
Bye.